The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Greg Berhalter and the United States have played well at times against Wales, and in particular, fantastic against England, and yet the final product is missing. A lot of concern about where's Giovanni Reyna? Why is Brendan Aaronson not starting? Those are all questions we're going to find out in less than 24 hours. I would be stunned with the way Carlos Kiroz and Iran set up in a low block and make life in space very difficult, that if you don't see Brendan Aaronson and Giovanni Reyna and Christian Pulisic and Weston McKennie and all of the best players in the final third on the same field at the same time, then Greg Berhalter is going to have a ton of questions that need to be answered after this World Cup. He's got to play Reyna, he's got to play Aaronson, and he's got to find the right combination of players, not in the first 15, 20 minutes, but in particular, when this game evolves in the second half. 3 points or go home. And quite honestly, if you can't beat Iran, you don't deserve to move on from the World Cup.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. It's Tuesday, November 29th, 2022. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Marco Marquez. Now joined by Matt Beasler in studio. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Stephen. Doing well.
It's been a wild World Cup so far, and now you got me all pissed off because my man Canelo is in this thing, and he's looking to whip Messi's ass. Okay? I'm just going to tell you that right now. So they cross paths. Messi's in deep doo-doo, Matt Beasler. Have you seen all this? Canelo tweeted for about 8 straight hours after the Mexico-Argentina game about, and so now Canelo saw one video of Messi kind of kicking the Mexican jersey, but now we're seeing that Canelo was fooled by someone that sent him this pictures of someone using the Mexican jersey to sweep up the floor, and it was a messy parody account. And then Kel got mad at that, but as you know, he was tweeting through it, tweeted for several hours, and so I don't know. Do you fear for Messi at all right now? It could get ugly.
I think this stuff's awesome.
Right.
You know what? I think it took us a while to get into the World Cup, but we are coming in hot.
I feel like that was the turning point for me.
If you get all of a sudden, if you got like a world champ boxer and wanting to kick your ass,
that's my hero. Come on, get him.
One of the
stakes are high.
Maybe the greatest soccer player of all time.
Yeah,
fight.
Yeah. Who's coming to Major League Soccer? Reportedly, by the way,
Twitter will get you. You know,
yeah,
right. You gotta be careful.
It's a dangerous place. My son said yesterday that the bunch of the kids in school had figured out. Is that the TMZ report?
I'm just
showing
them all kinds of, yeah. There's a lot there, so.
So my son said that at his school, a lot of the kids had figured out how to get the World Cup games on their devices, their school devices. And apparently at the in the lunchroom, he had the Brazil game on his device, and so the kids at his lunch table were all kind of gathered around watching the Brazil game yesterday. And the principal came by, and he was afraid that the principal was going to say, hey, that's not what this device is for. And the principal said, let's get it up on the big video board in the lunchroom so everybody can watch. They couldn't get the technology to work. So by the end of the lunch period, the entire lunchroom was gathered around his device, and they were all watching the Brazil game.
That's cool.
Yes, sir.
So that's pretty exciting, you know, to think that people are, you know, the kids at school are that excited about it and all that.
Before we get too far away from it, did anyone have any comments on what Taylor Twellman said in that clip leading into the segment? Anything stand out to you? Or
I'll let Mr. World Cup over here start with that.
I agree with what he's saying. You know, sometimes I think Mr. Twellman is a bit animated with some of his comments, but I liked what he was talking about with Greg Berhalter's decisions going into this game. I think it's going to be extremely important. You know, I think he's got a plan for what we think is going to happen in the game. Hopefully everything goes to plan. You know, we score an early goal. We're up by halftime. You know, the game opens up. Iran has to throw numbers, and we get the second goal. You know, we can dive a little deeper into the game if we want to. But but I think what's most important going into this game, and this is what Twelman was alluding to, if the game does not go to plan, if it's halftime and we are not performing well, or we are still tied in the 55th minute or the 60th minute, what is the plan? Like, there needs to be thought in a plan going into this game where you know exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, and who you're bringing on. If we get to halftime and it's still 0-0, what are the decisions? You're bringing on this guy 100%. If it gets to the 60th minute, we still need a goal. This is who you're bringing on. That's what I would like to see, and that's what I would like to know that has been thought of before this game and has been decided on. Exactly, like, down to the T, every situation has been played out in his head and has been prepared for.
Okay, so then how difficult is it for a team that needs to win to have to face a team that doesn't need to win? They just need a draw. And so it's unique, right? That's a different deal. And so how challenging is that for the United States?
It's going to come down. We know Iran's going to come in, and they're going to play conservative, right? We'll see how conservative they are, whether they drop everybody back and just how deep they play. But we know that they're going to play defensive. They're going to pack it in. So it's going to come down to us being able to break them down and get that first goal. If we get the first goal early, it completely changes everything. Because now Iran's going to come out of their shell, and they're going to have to open themselves up, which will help us. But the longer the game goes on, the harder it is. It's going to be for us to break them down. But it's a great question. I mean, it's the psychology of soccer going into a game where you know the exact result you need to get. I don't know if that, you know, it's unique to soccer, and it completely changes, you know, the tactics going into the game, which I love. I find it's very interesting.
Okay, so the question becomes, you know, how can the United States score in this situation, right? That's the big thing. Iran is going to do everything they can to make sure the United States doesn't score, because a 0-0 draw almost assuredly gets them through. It doesn't guarantee it. If Wales ended up actually beating England 1-0, they could be bounced, but they're assuming that that's not going to happen, so they're probably going to play for this draw. And the United States has only scored one goal so far in this World Cup, and they've kind of struggled to break down teams at Bunker Inn. I was talking with Benny Failhaber yesterday about this, and he told me, and I think it kind of changed my the way I look at it. He said, if you've been watching this World Cup closely, you should have noticed that the better teams in this tournament are struggling to score. Brazil had a tough time scoring yesterday, and it took a little bit of a lucky deflection. I mean, it was a great shot and everything, but it took a little bit of a lucky deflection to get them to score in that game. Argentina obviously has struggled to score. These teams have struggled to score against teams that have bunkered in, and the expected goals numbers are low. And the reason, he said, is because these teams don't have the opportunity, these national teams, to develop chemistry that it takes to break down a really organized defensive team. How much time did you guys have in camp before you went to the World Cup in Brazil?
We had about 4 weeks.
4 weeks together to train and develop this chemistry with one another, and the little passing patterns that you need and the stuff like that to break them down. These guys had, what, like 5 days? Because now the U.S., some of the players from MLS were working together, but all these guys that are playing in Europe, they literally played a game the weekend before the World Cup started. And then they all went to Qatar and had like a few days to practice together and then start. Do you agree with that? Do you think that's making it harder for teams to break down these low blocks and score goals because they haven't had the chance to work and develop that chemistry?
Yeah, I think it's accurate. It's a great point. And I agree with Benny 100%. But what's the solution?
Right.
Like, that's the reality, you know? So is the solution maybe we shouldn't try to continue to break down these teams with these intricate patterns because the rhythm and the chemistry isn't there. And going into this game, we need to serve balls into the box, right?
Okay.
I think the U.S., we've struggled scoring goals, right? We've struggled breaking down opponents that bunker in. And what I've seen is that one of the best ways to do that is to put pressure on the other team in their own box. It is not going to be pretty, right? When you serve balls into the other team's box, you're looking for a deflection, a knockdown, a lucky bounce, the ball drops to your foot and you poke it in the goal. That's a lot of the times that's how you open a team up. And what worries me going into this game is that I don't know, do we have the personnel to make that happen? Do we have the recognition and the direction to say, all right, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to win this game. We're going to put three or four targets in the box at all times, and we're going to whip dangerous balls in, and we're going to go make something happen. I don't know if we have that. But that's might, you know, that might be what it takes to win this game.
So one of the reasons I asked this, too, is because I think a lot of people were very surprised that Berhalter basically went with the same lineup for game two as he did in game one. The only change he made was at the center forward, which we obviously have to get to in a second. Because in the clip that Taylor Twellman we just heard, he, like many U.S. fans, want to see Gio Reyna out there. They want to see Brendan Aaronson out there. And both those guys have come off the bench in each of the first two games. Everything I'm reading, it sure makes it look like it's going to be the same starting 11, except he might change the number nine again. That's the center forward. Is it possible that part of his thought process is, by game three, we should have a little bit more chemistry? We will have played two games together. We will have had a couple of weeks together in training and all that. So there should be more chemistry and more cohesion. Or is that far-fetched? Like, how much can they have grown in their chemistry by playing these first two games and spending a week and a half there?
It's a great question. You can grow. You can certainly grow throughout a tournament. You can grow game to game. I was surprised that Berhalter didn't make more changes than he did. You know, we had talked about that going into game two. You know, one of the things that I had heard leading into the World Cup, we have the second youngest roster. You know, I thought we were going to rotate guys, you know, left and right and use that to our advantage, these young, fresh legs. And I was wrong. Berhalter didn't make many changes, but he got it right. Berhalter got it right. I think by him not making many changes in that second game, we saw a much better performance from the U.S. team against England. And so I can't criticize that. You know, I think he made the right decision. If he decides to go with, you know, a similar or the same lineup again, you know, that's part of coaching, right? You know, you got to make that call. And if it ends up working out for us, you know, he's going to get the credit. And if he doesn't, he's going to get criticized.
So he's got a fundamental problem on his hands, in I think most people's opinion, and that is, so Stephen, the way that the soundbite, to go back to the soundbite from Taylor Twellman, for our audience that doesn't maybe know who all these guys are and all that, I think this is kind of the moment for a lot of these players to get on this big stage. That's why to me today is such a massive moment, because if the United States win this game and go on to the knockout rounds, they'll be playing on the weekend. The buzz will continue to grow about these guys, and people like you who don't really know much about who Tyler Adams is, I think a lot of people around the country are starting to find out, wow, we got this group of young guys that are really, they'll become bigger stars. I mean, you saw what happened to everybody who knew who you were after the World Cup compared to before the World Cup. So the two guys, Stephen, that he was talking about, Brendan Aaronson and Gio Reyna, young players who play in two of the biggest clubs in Europe. Gio Reyna plays for the second biggest team in Germany, Borussia Dortmund, and Brendan Aaronson plays for Leeds United in the English Premier League. For soccer fans, both of those leagues are very accessible. Like, the German league is on ESPN+, so soccer fans can watch all those games. And of course, the English Premier League is available everywhere. People watch it. They want to see these two guys play. There are five young, exciting players that Berhalter would have to try to fit on the field together, and there's only so many spots for him. One of those spots is center forward, and they don't really have a clear-cut guy for that position. So one of the things that I think that Taylor Twellman's saying and a lot of people have said is, well, just put one of those guys at center forward. And then you get all your talented players on the field and just find a way to make it work. He has said he's not willing to do that because that's not the position those guys play. And he doesn't think that they're going to be as effective on the field if they're put in that position, since it's not the position they play. Do you agree with that?
Well, that's where Twellman and Berhalter disagree.
Right.
Because Twellman is saying, if I'm the coach, I'm finding a way to put all my best players on the field.
Right.
I don't care about what position they play. Berhalter, his approach is different. Berhalter is a more, you know, position-oriented coach. He's a more tactical coach. He wants guys in their more natural positions. So that's why he's going with that strategy. You know, and it doesn't seem like he's willing to change that.
Okay, Matt, Nate mentioned the captain, Tyler Adams, a couple of times. I want to play this clip, I'm sure that you've heard already, from a journalist from Iran that was questioning Tyler Adams at a press conference. I'd just like to get your reaction to this.
You say you support the Iranian people, but you're pronouncing our country's name wrong. Our country is named Iran, not Iran. Please, once and for all, let's get this clear. Second of all, are you okay to be representing a country that has so much discrimination against black people in its own borders? And we saw the Black Lives Matter movement over the past few years.
My apologies on the mispronunciation of your country. Yeah, that being said, you know, there's discrimination everywhere you go. You know, one thing that I've learned, especially from living abroad in the past years and having to fit in different cultures, is that in the U.S. we're continuing to make progress every single day. I grew up in a white family with obviously an African-American heritage and background as well. So I had a little bit of different cultures, and I was very, very easily able to assimilate in different cultures. So, you know, not everyone has that ease and the ability to do that, and obviously it takes longer to understand, and through education I think it's super important, like you just educated me now on the pronunciation of your country. So yeah, it's a process. I think as long as you see progress, that's the most important thing.
Okay, so then the first takeaway is he handled the question extremely well. But Nate, you had mentioned yesterday that your criticism was
I think U.S. Soccer Federation put him in a terrible situation. I think it's almost like a high stakes episode of The Office, the way the United States Soccer Federation handled this whole situation by putting out this image of the Iranian flag the way that they did. They've walked it back. They've apologized for it, but it clearly wound up at least the government run part of Iran. And I just think it dumped a whole lot of stuff at the feet of a young player who's got enough on his mind to try to get ready for the biggest soccer game of his life, and then to have to sit up there and answer these questions from state-run media members from Iran. And I don't think he could have handled it any better. But I think it was a big misstep by the United States Soccer Federation to mess with that whole stuff in the first place. That's my opinion.
Matt?
Nate, I agree with you. To borrow a pickleball term, we got caught with our feet in the kitchen by trying to, you know, be cute with what we were doing on social media. You know, I empathize with the thought behind it, but, you know, it was a mistake. You know, we probably shouldn't be going around messing with people's flags. You know what
right.
I mean? Regardless
right.
Of,
right.
of their beliefs or what kind of country they are or the people, like, just don't mess with people's flags. Nation's flags. So mistake by us with you know, it's
and reportedly, according to Greg Berhalter and the players, they had nothing to do with this. They had no idea this was even happening. And if that's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead.
I mean, I feel for Tyler Adams. I do. Nobody wants to sit up there, you know, a day or 2 days before the biggest game of your life and have to answer extremely difficult questions about things that he probably doesn't really know about. You know, and he's definitely not comfortable talking about. And, you know, the fact that he mispronounced Iran, hand up right now.
Right.
How many times have I done that?
Oh, I'm with
all
you.
All the time.
And I think so, I've already done it in this show once.
Absolutely. And so, honest mistake. I think he handled the response incredibly well. But what frustrates me is that we're putting these guys in a no-win situation, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
We go into this World Cup, and there's all this talk about leave politics out of it. Leave it out of it. We just want to watch soccer. Like, well, what do you think the players want to do? You think they want to actually talk about all this stuff? Or you think they just want to play the game? They just want to play. And so he gets up there, and what are all the questions about? They're mm-hmm. about everything that doesn't have to do with soccer. So, like, we can't go into this tournament and say, oh, only soccer. But all we do is ask questions that don't have to do with soccer. Like, it's you can't make anybody happy.
Okay, so this is Iran's head coach when he had a heated confrontation with a BBC reporter. Have you heard this, Nate?
No, I have not heard this.
Tell me what you guys, what your reaction is to this.
Yeah. I'm talking with you. Mr. I have the right to talk to you.
Mr. Porsche spoke to me.
I ask you the pleasure to talk with you.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk to you, but do you not think that it's fair to ask the question?
No, I'm asking one thing to you now.
Yes.
The press conference finished. Don't you think it's fair also to ask other questions with other coaches? That's the only question I make.
Absolutely, but I'm asking an Iranian player about his own country.
Why don't ask to the other coaches? Why don't ask Southgate about what do you think about England and the United States, the left, Afghanistan, and all the women alone?
But this is an Iranian.
Basically, that was in a scrum, and she was asking questions, political questions to him, and he got mad and said, why don't you ask political questions from England or the United States? So he got pissed off because a BBC reporter was grilling him. What do you think of that?
I mean, again, to go back to what Matt said, these guys want to play soccer. They want to talk about soccer. And this is, I will say, what kind of adds to the intrigue of all this stuff, right? I mean, there are countries that don't get along. You know, I mean, the Miracle on Ice, one of the reasons that the Miracle on Ice became such an epic story was because the United States and the Soviet Union didn't like each other.
See, but like, for you, I mean, you played in so many different places, right? And there's different reasons why you'd be distracted. Like, you know, some places you would go where you were legitimately, you would fear for your safety, right? You know, and you could tell me, you told me, we talked stories about that on the podcast. You're put into situations in different parts of the world where it's got to be impossible not to be somewhat distracted about where you are or what's going on around you or what people think of the United States. How difficult is it to compartmentalize and just focus on soccer when there's so many people right around you that aren't just focusing on soccer?
It's a challenge. I mean, it appears that Tyler Adams is handling it as well as he can, but, you know, nobody knows what's happening behind closed doors, right? Like, how is he dealing with it? You know, he appears that he's dealing with it very well, but, you know, is he thinking about it? I know, like, I can speak for myself. I would be very, very nervous to go up and to do a press conference right now and talk about this game, because I know that I'm going to get asked very hard questions, and if I say the wrong thing, like, you talk about playing other countries and fearing for your life.
Right.
You say the wrong thing to the wrong people, and, you know, imagine what's going through your head. A mistake that you make just with your words. And that's not a great place to be mentally when you're trying to go in and focus on a soccer game.
Where what place that you played at were you most, and maybe you handled everything better than most people would, because, you know, you're a professional athlete and that's part of it. You have, you know, you're mentally strong. You have to be. But maybe what place had you the most unnerved, or were you most uncomfortable around the world? What location had you maybe the most on edge where you played?
Honduras was tough. You know, Honduras, statistically, it's, you know, a lot of crime in the country. Yeah, I think at the time we played, there was some stat about their murder rate being the highest per capita, you know, and so that stuff always gets thrown your way. You know, you're reading that before the game. And Yeah, there was a lot of tension in that game too, because Honduras, you know, Roger Espinoza was playing for them at the time, and you know, they had a great team. You know, it was, we were competing directly with Honduras for a spot to get into the World Cup. So their fans took it incredibly serious. But I never experienced a time where I like legitimately feared for my life. I always felt well protected. You know, but you can certainly feel tension when you are doing these press conferences and getting asked these questions about, you know, politics and these, you know, from these foreign reporters.
And like, you know, he handled everything perfectly, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when do we wonder about, we talked about at the beginning of the World Cup, the lack of experience of these players not playing in the World Cup, but here in this whole different dynamic, and there's so much, right? Like, how do you even describe the pressure that's on them in this game today?
Yeah.
So how do you describe that?
It's interesting. One thing I've noticed, too, is I think that we've seen the same three or four guys get interviewed a lot, right?
Yeah.
It's Tyler Adams. It's the coach. Tim Ream.
Who's 35 Zimmer. Years old. You know, Tim
a
Ream.
Lot of the veteran, yeah. You know, the veteran guys, yeah. Maybe the more well-spoken guys, mm-hmm. Those are the guys that they're throwing in front of the cameras right now. And I think there's a reason for that. They're trying to avoid disaster from a media standpoint.
So if we talk about the pressure that the United States players are under during all this. This story came out in Sports Illustrated last night. Iran has threatened families of players on the Iranian World Cup team with violence and torture if the players don't behave in the match versus the United States men's national team on Tuesday. A source said that Iran has a large number of security eyeing how the players act while in Qatar. Additionally, the source said that the coach met with the Revolutionary Guard Corps officers following these threats. Because prior to their first match, the team did not sing along with the national anthem while it was played as a show of solidarity with the protesters. This article says that first the Iranian government came to the players and offered them presents and cars and things like, hey, we'll give you a new car if you make sure you sing the national anthem real loud. And they didn't do it. So think about if you're an Iranian player going into this game, you got a chance to help your team qualify for their first knockout round ever, and yet you're facing possible threats of violence and torture toward your family based on how you act during the national anthem before the game. And remember the story of Andres Escobar? Those of us that watched the amazing documentary, The Two Escobars.
Yes.
The Colombian national team was one of the top five teams in the world when they came to the United States in 1994, and the drug lords that had been gambling money on it put in a, like, they hacked into the closed circuit TV system in the hotel they were staying in and broadcast threats to the entire team before the game. And that clearly affected those guys. So, I mean, I do think a lot of what happens in this game is, like, I think that you hear sometimes, Matt, from athletes, my favorite thing about sports is I can set all of the stress of the outside world to the side once I get on the field. And you probably felt that way, Steven, when you were boxing. Everything that stressed you out and bothered you in the world kind of disappeared once you stepped into the ring, right? And now you're just focused on this fight. And that allows you to escape from all of the problems you have. That's what you got to do if you're a player in this, right? You got to just try to, like, use this time that I'm on the field to forget about all that stuff and go play.
That's what Mike Tyson used to always say. There was no, remember all the chaos around him in the 80s and 90s?
Yeah.
He said the only place he got peace was in the ring.
See, and that's why I think, you know, not to be, you know, right on the fence on this, but I think, you know, to answer your question about what does pressure do, like, what's this pressure going to do to a player? Pressure either breaks you or it makes
diamonds,
a diamond, right?
Yeah.
We'll find out this afternoon.
And that's exactly what happens, because it can break you, or, to Nate's point, you can be so sick and tired of dealing with all the outside distractions that you say, finally, I get to go out and play my game, and you go out and you ball out because you're just waiting for that opportunity, and we'll see what happens from both sides.
We will take a break. More with Matt Beisler after this on WHB.
Join Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program and get access to 95% of doctors in the U.S. It's the number one health plan for federal employees. Learn more at fepblue.org/wecan.
What are we playing here, Marco?
I know you like that. You want to try.
People
that.
Like when you it's tell like us what the music is.
Play some Gorillaz. Rock the house.
You like Gorillaz?
I don't know too much about him, but it seems like every time I hear him on the radio or something, it's not a bad song.
Richie St. John loves him, and I got him tickets to go to a concert one time, and he said it was fabulous. So,
What did we decide, Marco? What did we decide on Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson? When I was driving in this morning, that's all I heard.
That's a hell of a hot seat.
You made a quite the hot take.
So, are you asking for my stance on it? Or?
Yeah, I want to know where it finished out. When I got here, I wasn't able to hear where you landed on that.
Well, at the end of the day, the model to building an NFL franchise is you got to have your GM, you got to have your head coach, you got to have your franchise quarterback. Franchise quarterbacks, like Lamar Jackson, maybe don't come around as often, and so. It's one of those things where Nate had asked, you keep Harbaugh or Lamar? I'm keeping Lamar Jackson. Eric DaCosta, he's a very aggressive general manager who puts a lot of assets out there in building his roster, and it hasn't paid off, essentially. And so I just think that if the Ravens are going to become something more than just a early exit playoff team in the NFL, then you need to.
I think that's more on Lamar.
You need what more? On,
I've seen Harbaugh win a Super Bowl without Lamar. I don't know if they can.
But
win
look
a Super
at
Bowl
that
Lamar.
Defense and look who they had and right. almost didn't make it to the conference championship
that year.
How are
you going to afford to build that kind of team if you're paying Lamar all
what
that
do you think
money?
They're doing right now? They're trying to build the defense because Lamar, when it comes down to having to throw the ball in the playoffs,
exactly. So they're not built. Yeah. They're not. The blueprint of the Ravens is not going to work. And Eric DaCosta's
it's because of Lamar
managing,
though. They've had to
is it?
Create
is
yes,
it because?
Yes.
They've had to create this. So the, yeah, they had to build the whole office to change it to for Lamar Jackson.
Marco, you know? I love you, man. Just know that
he gets so much passion about this. How
I
about
just want
this?
What's best for Lamar.
I don't want to do this. I'm going to do it. I'm sorry. DraftKings Sportsbook. I got to mention this. They recommend these parlays for the. And I'm sorry. It helps me enjoy watching the World Cup. Don't ostracize me for this. Okay. You're over there gambling, too, with a big gold chain on, so don't look at me funny. What do you guys think about this parlay? Oh, this is plus 550. Pulisic to score a goal. He'd have to have three shots or more. USA to score first. And Iran under 1.5 goals. All those things happen. That'd be plus 550. Now that's fun. Look how that does that. You're not gambling, but for me, doesn't that make it fun? Look at this.
I think that makes it fun.
I'm rooting for all kinds of things.
One thing going for you is that if the United States get a penalty, Pulisic would be the one to take it, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
that's a bet. That's a bet with your heart.
How about this? Here's a parlay called "Oh Captain, My Captain."
Okay.
So tell me, I'm just asking you guys. I don't know how likely are these things to happen. Tyler Adams has at least one shot on goal.
He plays the six. So
just have one. Just one.
Is it got to be on target? Or is it just a
just
shot?
Just one shot on goal.
Yeah, one shot on
one
goal.
One shot.
Yes, on target.
Is that possible?
It's possible.
Okay. He must have at least 75 passes.
I think that's going to happen.
Yeah, that'll
game.
Happen.
I like that one more than having a shot on goal.
The USA must have at least 14 total shots. Or more.
I think they're going to have that many shots today.
And then they got to win. So I think if all four of those things happen, that's plus 525.
The tough part is
I could have a great Christmas for my kids.
So what are you going to throw 10 bucks at it?
Yeah, throw a little bit of money.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just trying to pick one.
It can happen. I mean, you know, whenever you're doing a parlay like that, it's a long shot.
I like the Pulisic one better than
the here's
the
third one, and then I'll leave it alone. I'm sorry. DraftKings Sportsbook. Right to score a goal. Yeah. Anyone to score.
Haji Wright. I don't even know how much he's going
to
play.
USA to score first. The USA has over 4.5 corners, and then USA to win.
I like all three of those except the first one.
See, but then I could go set my own up and just take that off and be low. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just picking all kinds of wild stuff. I'm sorry. We'll move on. Look, Marco's,
I like it.
Marco's knee deep now.
Yeah.
You can bet on someone getting a red card.
By the way, USA is plus 100, draws plus 240, and Iran is plus 300 to win. So,
plus what is USA to win?
Plus 100.
So
yeah.
Both teams' scores at plus 105.
Yeah, I mean it's somebody had told me it was like a 50-50 bet for the U.S. to win, but I guess it's a little bit, they're a little bit more than a 50-50 bet, huh?
Right.
To win. I'm not great at calculating all those odds, but I think it's going to be, well, it's going to be a very stressful day. you know, watching this game, it's going to be very nerve-wracking.
Just tell us what you think is going to happen. What's going to happen in this match? Just tell us with your head and not your heart. What do you honestly believe will happen between the United States and Iran?
2-1, USA.
There it is. Oh, this guy.
Which will cry. Make Nate and everybody else extremely nervous the last 5-10 minutes of the game.
I mean, let's have 2-1. Fun. Make it 1-1, and the U.S. scores like in stoppage time. Hey,
I mean, here's the thing about that. That's the kind of moment. That's the kind of moment that becomes iconic, right? Like, so.
Well, we're gonna do it. Yeah. Let's do it right.
You know,
Matt's
Landon Donovan's goal in 2010 against Algeria that put them into the knockout rounds was one of those types of moments. They were minutes away from getting knocked out.
When Phil had his American flag vest on, and he jumped in your arms. That was a lot of fun.
And that actually became that moment won ESPY for biggest sports moment of the year that year. So all the guys that were on the field got an ESPY for that. So if that happens, yeah, that would be like the most iconic thing ever. But I'm just much more in favor of like 2-0. You know,
you're boring.
Let's get an early goal and then a second goal because Iran's got to come out and play a little bit. That's what I'm hoping for.
I need Canelo to be happy because I don't want this to affect his training camp for his next fight. So you tell me tell me the chances that this will happen. I'm going to guess it's not good. Poland beats Argentina, and Mexico defeats Saudi Arabia.
Poland's not beating Argentina.
Yeah, there it is.
And
that's a slap in my face and his face at the same time.
Matt, thanks a lot.
Don't tell Canelo, please. I don't need Canelo tweeting at
like,
me.
How big of an upset would it be for Poland to beat Argentina? Like, where are we at here? Like, what? How?
Well, like it wouldn't be as look. Argentina lost to Saudi Arabia. That was bigger. Poland is a decent team with one of the best players in the world on their side. But I have to say, I agree with Matt. I mean, if Argentina come out and play anywhere near what they're capable of, Poland, you know, Poland's not
so
doesn't stand much of a
chance. Is this more likely? So then Mexico could also qualify by winning, they beat Saudi Arabia, and making up the goal difference advantage on Poland-Argentina while Argentina defeats or draws Poland.
Yeah, so that's possible.
That's probably more likely.
Because Argentina can win by 2-3 goals.
Poland's plus 2 and Mexico's minus 2.
Yeah, so if Mexico wins 2-0 and Argentina wins 2-0, right? They're even.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know what the next tiebreaker is there.
But if like if Argentina or like if Mexico won 3-0.
Which they could.
And then it was 2-0 then. Okay. So that's more likely.
I think that's probably more likely than Poland. I don't know. I mean, Poland can certainly beat Argentina. I don't expect them to do it in this game. Argentina has their back against the wall. They have to win to advance. And they're a better team.
They've struggled to score Argentina so far in this cup as well. So I'm sure Poland's going to play very defensively in the game.
What about this first match, Ecuador and Senegal?
Well, so by the way, that is worth keeping an eye on because the Ecuador-Senegal game and the Netherlands-Qatar, they'll both play at the same time because they're in the same group. Just like the United States will play at the same time as England and Wales because they don't want you to have the advantage of knowing what result you need to get in this game. You just got to go play the game. And the winner of the United States group will play the second place team in Group A, and then the second place team in the United States group will play the first team. So the United States, if they make it through, is going to play one of these teams, Ecuador, Senegal, or the Netherlands. Qatar's already out.
Let's be positive and say the United States advances. Who do you want? Call your shot. Who do you want out of that group?
Ecuador, Senegal, or the Netherlands?
Who do you want a piece of? Like, come on.
I like them all.
You want all of them?
I like them all.
But there's not one in particular that you like to see?
I would probably say Ecuador 1, okay. Netherlands 2, Senegal 3.
What about you, Silly?
I'm with Matt. First of all, I like all of them. That's one of the reasons I'm so nervous about today is because I think the United States will actually show their best soccer in the knockout rounds,
you know,
because they'll
be
play
honest.
Against somebody that wants to play.
He could have just said the words poop, 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 and you would have said, I'm with Matt. I agree.
Yeah.
That's
right.
A great point, man.
100%. I'm not going to sit here and disagree with him.
You know?
But I do. I think the U.S. is going to come out and play. Like, if they get to the groups or the knockout stage, they're going to be playing against teams that want to play. And the United States are better. We saw that against England. They actually played better because England was out there to play the game and not just bunker in.
Yeah, you're right. I agree.
So I'm excited. I like their chances. If they get through this game today, I like their chances against any of those three teams.
Matt, what
I really
do, you think,
do.
What do you think about what he's wearing? How would you describe that?
You know, I like it. It actually brings me back to last week, Nate, and something I wanted to share with you, Stephen.
No, let's hear it.
Before I leave here, you know, Nate and I went up on the Power and Light stage on Friday mm-hmm. for the U.S. England game. It was a lot of fun, by the way. Going up on stage in front of, what was it, 7,500 people?
Probably over 10,000.
A packed house.
A packed house.
Yeah.
A little bit of nerves for me. You know, you're supposed to go on stage and pump the people up, and, you know, you've either got to go all in or you don't even get up there, right? And so I asked Nate, I go, you know what, you got any advice for me? And he goes, you know what? Every time I go up on stage, I think of Stephen St. John. He told me something when I used to come up on stage, and it's something that I always think about. And Stephen said, you got to embrace your WWE wrestler persona.
Yeah.
And that is the last thing that I thought about before I went on stage.
Got to work that mic.
And I had a blast.
Yeah.
I loved it. I embraced it. It was a lot of fun. And
it's exhilarating.
I have you to thank. You were my inspiration, so thank you for that, Stephen.
Also, I've fallen off that stage 3 different times. And so that's, you don't need to follow every step that I've taken. But
it's true, though.
I thank you for that. I appreciate that.
If you're going to get up there and lead a big rally like that, and Steven's always been the best at doing that in town, and I did. I asked him, I said, why? Because you get self-conscious. You're standing in front of all these people, and you're going to, you know, they're going to make fun of me. They're going to do whatever. And Steven said, man, you got to lean into it. You got to watch what those WWE guys do. You know, whoever your favorite wrestler was back in the day, those guys are the best at working a crowd, working the mic in the world. And so lean into it. Have some fun. They want somebody that's going to bring some energy up there. And I've learned many things from you over
like
the years, Stephen.
He's like the all-American kid or something is what he is, you know?
It right? made me happy.
That be your name?
It made me happy that I used you as motivation. And
how does that make you feel?
That'll be the first and last time, I bet.
No. Nope.
You know, but that's flattering. But you liked it. You were, I mean, that's a different deal, man. I know you've played in front of thousands and thousands of people, but then when you get up there with a microphone and everyone's looking at you, they can give that. I mean, I still get nervous when I do it.
Yeah,
it's fun, though.
No,
you feed off the crowd.
That's what I said. I was nervous. I was nervous to go up there, but it was a great time. I would do it again.
So you said 2-1 United States.
Yep, that's what I'm
going
with.
We're good to go. But it's going to be dramatic, and Nate's going to be very sick for the entire game.
Yeah.
U.S. wins it in the 89th minute. I don't know. You'll be beside yourself.
Oh, no.
Will you be conscious if that happens?
I'll make it.
Right.
I'll make it. I think that what I'm doing right now is I've been spending a lot of time preparing myself for the worst, because look at, you know, I don't want to be devastated if it doesn't go the way we want. You know, I want to be
Stop
able to, you know, because it's going to be hard today. This is not going to be an easy one. Like, people can look at it and say, oh, the United States got so much more talent than Iran, they should just go win this game. That's not how this is going to go. This is a very, and so I'm trying to guard myself.
What did Matt Beasley just tell you?
He told me 2-1.
Well, time will tell, and I think that I, if Marco, am I right here? I'm coming on tomorrow as well. So we are. I'm
That's
very.
Right.
It's either going to be
either way. I
party
I'm
up
need,
in here, or
yeah.
Steven, we might have
no,
to.
Either way, I need your help with him.
Okay.
Either way,
right?
Because it'll be a battle of extremes. Trust me. I remember I can't remember what match it was. And I walked. I went to go get a drink. And the commercial break came back, and he was just lying face first on the carpet. It might have been after a sporting playoff loss.
Yeah,
and just not moving, and just stood over looking at him.
Yeah.
I'm like,
That was actually after they won the U.S. Open Cup.
No, there was one you were sad.
Loss. Oh, that
you
was
just,
the playoff loss to Portland. Oh,
I was like,
God,
look, I go,
hurts.
Do you want to
tell me about that?
You want to get up? Are you out? Are you, he goes, blah, blah, blah. So it could be anything. That's Matt Beasler. He'll be back tomorrow to help me with Nate Bucati on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Join Blue Cross and Blue Shield Federal Employee Program and get access to 95% of doctors in the U.S. It's the number one health plan for federal employees. Learn more at fepblue.org/wecan.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. The countdown is on. Just a few more forecasts on television for Gary Lezak. I can't believe it, Gary.
It's coming, isn't it? Tonight. Tonight at 10 p.m. Tonight will be my final 10 p.m. newscast.
Wow.
Thursday will be my final 6 p.m. newscast and my final newscast.
Will you cry?
I can't predict that.
I want you to cry on air. I mean,
yeah, I don't predict the emotions. Right. Hey, there's a 30% chance I'm going to cry tomorrow.
I mean, I want you to cry and wail and just, you know.
It could happen. It depends. I mean, I'm getting these. I cried a few times yesterday. I got these fan. I could read this one fan mail. Is just. I mean, I got this one from this guy Keith. A fellow lover of life is what he describes himself, and he wrote this just incredible letter. I got it yesterday. He wrote, "On this Thanksgiving morning, I am grateful for you, sir. You have been a light in my world through watching you on KSHB News more broadly, and more importantly, you are a bright, shining light for the citizens of Kansas City, Missouri, and the surrounding area. Thank you very much for your glowing spirit. It is our gift from you." And then he goes on and on. And he's got this amazing statement, if I can find it in here real quick. Oh, listen to this. I mean, this is Keith. I mean, what a writer. He wrote, "The joy of living seeps from your cells and blesses the rest of us who are fortunate enough to witness it. You are a wonderful example of how we all should pass through this life. I appreciate that so much, Keith, and thank you. And I'm going to miss all of you out there on TV. I'll still be here on Sports Radio 810.
That's right.
And I've got something to share with the world. There's a major severe weather outbreak today in the southeastern United States centered on Mississippi. It is an LRC slam dunk prediction, the first one of this year's weather pattern. And if you go back about 7 weeks ago, there was a severe weather outbreak that hit the Wisconsin fairgrounds around Milwaukee, significant damage. It's a return of that part of the pattern. That's what I'm bringing to the market, and that's what I'm going to concentrate on my career and my life from this point forward, is I have something I'm going to be sharing with the world that will save lives and help businesses worldwide. We have world customers coming in now. As you guys know, I'm sort of becoming like a potential personality and face of the weather for the Formula One racing and the Grand Prix racing around the world. So that's something I'm developing more on that in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, it is quite touching, these cards and letters I'm getting from the fans. And, you know, it's not like I'm retiring. If I was retiring, I probably would really break down perhaps. But I've got this energy and force that's going to take me into something – you know, broader and bigger and global, and I'm working hard at it. And it's, being an entrepreneur is extremely challenging, and taking a discovery like the LRC and creating something with the patent pending model that's going to help businesses and save lives, it is a tremendous responsibility, and I'm pouring my heart into it. And beginning Friday, I'll be able to put 100% of my time into it. So that's really the reason why I'm leaving TV. And I'm blessed to have Sports Radio 810 in my corner as I go forward and talk sports and a little weather with you guys and keep supporting KSHB 41. So that's what I'm going to be doing. So thank you so much. Tonight at 10 p.m., Mick Schaefer says, "I am going to do sports."
Yes.
Tonight.
Finally, right? Somebody instead of Mick.
What? What? What?
Really, Marco? That was like so genuine.
Yeah, anyway. I can't believe Marco said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Sorry, you just caught me by surprise. I can't wait to hear you break down Missouri and Wichita State when that's over tonight.
I'm not going to break that down. I'm going to break down.
Well, that's sports.
And prepare you for the Cincinnati huge game coming up, because I'm going to break down the Chiefs tonight. And the Gary, he's going to give me the Gary minute tonight to watch. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing good. You sound like you're all tuckered out now.
Well, it's amazing. Today we have a real strong cold front coming our way. This cold front is going to get your attention at about 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Mm.
Yeah. So between now and then, up to near 60 degrees, it's going to go from 60 at about noon to 28 by 7 p.m. tonight.
Damn.
Yeah. So get ready. Walk the dogs in the noon hour today. And no chance of anything significant here. That severe weather outbreak in the southeast, as I said, it's going to be Exhibit A or B or C, maybe A, this year's LRC, because it will return next spring, unfortunately. And it could affect us with severe weather. We'll know when and where. That's what the LRC does. That's the technology we're bringing to the world. So, any questions?
No, but you had all the answers, so thank you.
I did the weather today, and you're going to watch tonight at 10?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to try to do sports. He says I have a script, but I might ad-lib it.
Yeah, just go off the cuff.
Right.
And don't listen to their time cues, just like when you're on with us.
I can just go on and on. Yeah. I'm out of time right now.
What are they going to do, fire you?
Mick might give me this look. Mick will say, I'm out of time. I'm like, there you go. All right, guys, have a good day. Right now it is 53 degrees. It's going to be 60 today, and then watch out this afternoon. Here it comes. Have a good day, guys.
Thanks, Gary. Back after this on WHB.